You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Today's opening words are in the form of a short meditation. So Santuali lights the chalice for us. I invite you to fix your eyes on the flickering flame as I speak. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am not the things my family did. I am not the voices in my head. I am not the pieces of the brokenness inside. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am light. I am not the mistakes that I've made, or any of the things that cause me pain. I am not the pieces of the dream I left behind. I am light. I am light. You are light. You are light. You are not the colour of your eyes. You are not the skin on the outside. You are not your age. You are not your race. Your soul inside is all light. All light. All light. We are light. We are light. We are divinity defined. We are the God on the inside. We are stars, pieces of it all. We are light. Well, good morning and welcome. We meet on sacred Kaurna country this morning. My name is David Free-Smith and I'm a member of the congregation, and I thank you very much for allowing me to share this worship. And that's one of the things that I love about being part of this community, is that I get to walk a stretch of my life's journey with you. Even though we probably didn't depart from the same point of origin, nor are we necessarily moving in exactly the same direction on the spiritual plane. Yet each time we gather, we walk a few steps in our journeys, side by side. And at the end of today, when our paths diverge, may we each continue to travel our paths a little stronger, wiser, and perhaps a little more enlightened for this time that we've spent together. My theme today is going to be about children and their education in a Unitarian context. And we've come to the part of our service where the children get to take centre stage. First, we'll sing our hymn, during which time the children We'll collect the goodies you've brought to go in the basket for those who are hungry. And after that important job, the children will come up the front for the story for all ages, which today is read by Joe.
All set? Fantastic. Okay, I chose today's book because it's a little bit different to the other books that we have. This book was made by hand. It means that all the paper was made by hand and all of the pictures were printed onto the pages using paint. So every book in this series has a slightly different look, and there might be little mistakes and changes which make them special. It's called Creation, and it's by two people. It's by Bharja Shyam and Geeta Wolf, and they worked together to put some stories from the Gond people in India. This group of people like to tell their stories using patterns and art. So they help each other learn about the things that they believe and their favourite stories by doing patterns and artwork. So I'll show you each picture and then I'll tell you the story. This is the first picture, is a fish. Looks a little bit like the fish that we know, doesn't it? This is the unborn fish. In the beginning, before the Creator made the world, there was emptiness, nothing at all. Then came the water. And this is how the Gond people paint the fish. It's really it's a fish-shaped emptiness. It's a hole shaped like a fish because he's not born yet. It's pretty easy to see what this one is. Birds, aren't they? The birds in the air. So this story is about air. Into this place, the Gond Creator streamed the breath of life and air was born. Their story goes that the Creator made the world and he sent out a blue crow to search for land. And he painted these crows swirling around and around and around in a circle looking for land. It's in a pattern, isn't it? What do you think that one is? It looks a bit like a snake, doesn't it? A worm? I think it's a worm. Or a grub, yep. They all look similar, don't they? It's a worm, yep. This one's about mud. So mud appeared and it was churned up by the earthworm. And the Gond people believe that there can't be any earth or life without mud. And they think mud is more precious than gold. So if you're a fan of mud, if you like playing in the mud, you probably understand why they think that. So here's the worm burrowing deep under the ground. He's creating. This is a bit trickier. What do you think that might be? Shapes. It's shapes, isn't it? Yep. Seven shapes. What do you think? The earth. Yeah, it looks a bit like the earth. If you've flown on a plane and looked out the window, you could see the fields underneath. This one's called Seven Types of Earth, and that's where the mud goes. So mud gave birth to the seven types of earth. Sand, clay, loam, rock, chalk, silt, and marsh. What about that one?
That looks like a tree with half day and half night.
It does. There's the day and there's the night. So this one's about time and how time passes. Day and night, beginning and end, life and death. Creation is made of opposites. For human beings, life is measured in time. So we get up in the morning and we go to sleep at night. Usually, most people do, don't they? Yep. What about that one? More birds.
Bats.
Yep. Or butterflies. All the things that fly. This is about seasons. This is talking about time, cycling around in a season. So we know that one season comes followed by the next, and that when that cycle's finished, it's time to start again. Insects sometimes swarm around. You might have seen bees swarming. Or we've had bats in the trees outside our house. They're swarming around to tell us it's time for the weather to change.
That looks like a bush, but then I can see an eye.
Yeah, what's in the middle?
Look
at that. Something's looking at you.
It's an eye.
It is an eye, isn't it? This is about a sacred seed. So the thing that life starts from, and it's about the possibilities of life, and that when time is right and we plant the seed, something will grow. Oh, here's a good one.
Wow, that's animals and
That's got everything in it, hasn't it? That's a big egg. And that egg has animals.
Like an Easter egg.
It's like an Easter egg.
Chocolate egg.
Could be. It's got everything, hasn't it? It's called the egg of origins. And this picture tells us that everything starts from an egg. So everything's inside the egg and all of life comes out. And it has all sorts of kinds of life. We did. Correct. What about that one?
Oh. It's like a rainbow with having everything on it. It's a cow.
It's got everything, isn't it? It's got a big animal and he's got all of the other things on his horns. This one's called... Santa, it looks like Father Christmas's reindeer, doesn't it? You're very correct. This is about making art, and the Gond people make their art from five different earth colours in the mud, white, black, yellow, red and green. So there are all the pictures that they use to tell their stories. And right at the end we have one last fish. We started with a fish, didn't we? So this is the fish at the end. So this is the fish that talks about life going in a circle. He's like death because he has red, yeah? Is that a colour to do with red? And blood, yep. That could be one way of reading that story. This one talks about everything having a beginning and an end and that we need to have endings because that's where we start again from the start.
Yeah, it's like a life cycle.
It is exactly like a life cycle and you've got it just right. Do you want to take that book to Sunday Club with you and have a closer look? There you go. You can hold it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Well, to launch our exploration today of how we might offer a full and wholesome Unitarian religious experience here for children, I'd like to ask us to begin by reflecting on the earliest steps in your own unique spiritual journey. I want to ask you, can you remember a time, a moment, an experience, an epiphany, a disappointment? Maybe a relationship, something from your own childhood when you had an experience which you might describe as in some way significant, either positive or negative, in your own religious or spiritual development. The pertinent experience does not necessarily need to be in a religious setting, although it may be. You might also consider what role, if any, that experience had in your being here in a Unitarian church today. I'm going to leave you just for a minute of silence to reflect on that question, and then we'll be after that an opportunity to share. So next I'm going to ask you then to share, just to the extent that you're comfortable with your neighbours, I'd like to give you a good 5 minutes or so, if that's all right, to allow some time to get into it a bit, allow some time for story swapping. So I'm going to challenge your little group, the people around you, with these three questions. So firstly, what was a childhood experience that came to mind for you? And secondly, how did that experience have a role in leading you to be in this room today, if it did? But thirdly, if you get time to get to it, what do you think should be in a Unitarian Children's Sunday School program? It's not as straightforward a question as it might at first seem. So 5 minutes just with the people around you. Perhaps try to include someone that you didn't come with today, and I'll come and join in. All right, I hate to interrupt those conversations. I'm terribly sorry to do that. I can see that there's some wonderful conversations happening. I'm probably interrupting you just as you're hitting your stride, but I hope that there might be opportunity to continue some of those at coffee time. Our movement has a very long history of progressivism in the field of children's religious education, and so I'd like to share with you how one Unitarian answered this question that we've just discussed, the third one, 180 years ago. Now I think Barb, is it going to be you? In a moment, I'm going to ask Barb to read an excerpt from an address by the Reverend William Ellery Channing, prominent American Unitarian minister and liberal theologian in the first half of the 19th century. The address, entitled The Sunday School, A Discourse, was given to the Sunday School Society in London in 1837. So he travelled across the Atlantic for this. I wonder if you'll be surprised, as I was when I first read it, about how many points of resonance there are with ways that we might think about children's religious education today. Now, to put Channing's words in context, it's helpful to remember that in 1837, even in Unitarian churches, it was very much the era of the catechism, verses of religious truths, rote, learned, and recited ad nauseam by children on Sunday mornings, in an attempt to somehow insert and cement the truth inside their skulls. Channing's vision here is largely a reaction to that stifling approach. Word of warning, I have to ask you to forgive the gender-exclusive language, which is a product of the times, but I am confident that Channing intended that his remarks apply equally to women as to men. Thank you, Bob.
Well, I've been busy actually changing some of that gender-exclusive language. I went through it in Biro, so here we go. So this was written in 1837. How to reach, influence, enlighten, elevate the youthful mind. This is a grand topic. And who ought not to be interested in it? For who has not an interest in the young? You must have faith in the child, have faith in his, her nature, and in its capacity for improvement. Have faith in the child as capable of knowing and loving the good and the true, as having a conscience to take the side of duty, as open to ingenious motives for well-doing, as created for knowledge, wisdom, piety, and disinterested love. The great end in religious instruction is to awaken the soul of the pupil, to bring his, her understanding, conscience, and heart into earnest, vigorous action. The child is a rational, moral, free being, and the great end of education is to awaken rational and moral energy within the child, and to leave him or her to the free choice of the right, to the free determination of themselves. The child is not a piece of wax to be moulded at another's pleasure, not a stone to be hewn passively into any shape which the caprice and interest of others may dictate, but a living, thinking being, made to act from principles, from their own heart, to distinguish for themselves between good and evil, between truth and falsehood, to form himself or herself to be in an important sense the author of their own character, the determination of their own future being. She or he is a free moral agent, and our end should be to develop such a being. The great end in religious instruction is not to stamp our minds irresistibly on the young, but to stir up their own, not to make them see with our eyes, but to look inquiringly and steadily with their own, not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth, not to form an outward regularity, but to touch inward springs, not to burden the memory, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought, not to bind by irreducible prejudices to our particular sect or particular or peculiar notions, but to prepare them for impartial, conscientious judging of whatever subjects may be, to be offered to their decision, not to impose religion upon them in the form of arbitrary rules which rest on no foundation but our own world and will, but to awaken the conscience, the moral discernment, so that they may discern and approve for themselves what is everlastingly right and good. Teach much by questions. These stimulate, stir up the young mind, and make it its own teacher. They encourage the spirit of inquiry, the habit of thought. Questions skillfully proposed turn the child to their own consciousness and experience, and will often draw out from their own soul the truth which you wish to impart. And no lesson is so well learned as that which a man, a woman, or a child teaches themselves. The most gifted in our congregation cannot find a worthier field of labour than the Sunday school. The noblest work on earth is to act with an elevating power on a human spirit. The greatest men and women of past times have not been politicians or warriors who have influenced the outward policy or grandeur of kingdoms, but they who by their own deep wisdom and generous sentiments have given light and life to the minds and hearts of their own age and left a legacy of truth and virtue to posterity.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Barbara. I wonder, Miranda, would you just tell Kate that we're going to be about 10 minutes later? Thank you very much. So, in addition to the gendered pronouns that Barbara kindly fixed for us, Channing appears to refer to the concepts of truth and what is right as objective and self-subsisting facts independent of human construction in a way that many of us would probably hesitate to assert today. But you can hear, nevertheless, through his words, that clear departure from authoritative text as sole source of wisdom and virtue towards a theology acknowledging every individual being as a potential source of wisdom and virtue, as well as each of us being a lens or filter through which texts might be interpreted, weighed, and made meaningful anew. And you can certainly hear a vision of the child and of child raising in religious community which was well ahead of its time, and which we can, and I'd suggest should, aspire to. So what of today? To what extent is Channing's vision for children's religious education being realised here in Norwood in 2017? What does our 21st century Unitarian children's RE look like? What do our kids do when they wander out through those doors each Sunday after the story for all ages? Well, let me show you. Back in 2012, a group of Sunday club parents reflected on what they hoped their children might experience and learn in the context of this spiritual community. And from that reflection was born our very own Unitarian Religious Education Curriculum Framework, which organises these aspirations into five strands: community, wisdom, ethics, spirituality, and service. Let's expand on each one a little, and I'll show you some examples. And quickly after that, I'd like to propose some simple ways that we might contribute to that as ordinary members of the congregation. So the first one is community, which is the hope that our children will develop a strong sense of belonging to and identifying with a diverse, accepting, intergenerational community. And there's all sorts of ways that we do that. Of course, the story for all ages, which we had just a magnificent example of. Thank you again for that, Joe, today. You may remember the blessing of the backpacks that we had at the start of the year before children headed off to school, a wonderful occasion that we celebrated together, and we've done it twice now, such that the kids remember and are talking about it for next year. And many of you will have been here for our intergenerational service too, where we were celebrating our young men who were becoming adults, which we did with a bike ride. This is the before photo up at Shady Grove at about 4:45 in the morning. Everybody smiling and happy. This is the during photo, which is not quite so glamorous. It did get tough there. The stars were just amazing that morning. And the after photo, after we'd showered and had a warm drink and so on, and the bird box that the boys made as well. Part of how we got to that smiling photo was lots of cake. A really good day. We also want them to learn a little bit about what Unitarian means. So here you can see examples of candles that the children made as part of learning about the meaning and symbolism of the chalice. And we're very lucky that we have Shady Grove at our disposal. It just expands what we can do with our program so much. And so learning, again, a great place to learn about Unitarian history. So you can see the kids here learning a little bit about the chapel. And here's Ashton reading up about those portraits hanging there. Of course, community is also about living and playing and exploring together. And our family camps at Shady Grove, which the last few years we've been able to do 3 times a year, which is fantastic. Another one coming up this Sunday, if anyone else would like to join us. A great way to experience being in community. All those automatic things that we're doing with organising food, compromising, having to live together, having to look after the needs of others, is that implicit teaching, which in many ways is much stronger than the explicit direction of the correct words at a child about what's the right thing to do. We do it by model, by example, by learning together. Wisdom refers to the hope that our children will be exposed to the rich heritage of the wisdom of humanity, which has been cultivated and passed down through ages via narrative, myth, religion, philosophy, poetry, music, and other cultural vehicles. In particular, we have this list of the 6 sources of Unitarianism, which guides that very much. So that includes Judeo-Christian tradition, other world religions, humanism, sciences, Unitarian tradition, and great wisdom of prophetic individuals. So part of our exploration of that has been engagement with other religious groups. So here was a few years ago where we had a couple of sessions with the equivalent children's group from the Adelaide Quakers. And they came along to a picnic with us as well. That was a really wonderful time. And earlier in the year, we went to the mosque open day, which we're very grateful to Anne Taylor for organising for us. And of course, we're very lucky to have our own Yasmin, one of our teachers, who was able to give us an insider's understanding of the mosque. This was a particularly wonderful day. It was, you know, for a lot of our children, they don't know what a terrorist is, they don't follow the news yet. A lot of our kids are young enough that they didn't have reason to have a negative opinion or reaction to Islam or Muslims. All they knew was Yasmin, who's just about the nicest person you could ever meet, and maybe a few kids from their classes. And so going to the mosque where they were warmly welcomed, shown hospitality, Julia was shown how to tie her headscarves by these lovely girls, they thought they were in Disneyland. They thought it was the most wonderful thing ever. And you know, still today, if we drive past a mosque or a Greek Orthodox church that looks like a mosque, you know, they're very excited. They have a really positive impression of it. And so for me as a parent, it's so important that they had that positive impression first before the inevitability of the media and so forth getting to them with some of the negatives. This is James learning to write his name in Arabic. Does that look about right, Iran, do you think? It is, yeah, very good. Okay, good. Yeah, so I thought that was wonderful. Also, with wisdom, look, we learn about the scientific tradition. Here's the kids using some microscopes here. John Eaton came in one day with some of his microscopes, an old science teacher, former science teacher, and that was a fabulous opportunity to see the world at another level and to think about what we can do that we don't necessarily do in a science class here. Was we were able to take that to that next level of seeing what is it that we can and can't see with the naked eye about the world, and how do we understand the world differently when we're able to see it through that different lens. Ethics, by which we don't mean the imposition of a set of ethics, but hopefully, but rather learning language and thinking tools needed for ethical decision-making and living, ethical literacy, if you like. And we're very lucky to have the 7 principles in Unitarianism to draw on for that. This is a children's rendition of those principles, and we refer to that and use that a lot in Sunday Club, with that most important central one, of course, being that every person is important. Here you can see Tracy making some snowflakes with the kids using crystals, the snowflake being a beautiful symbol of the individual. No 2 snowflakes are alike. These are crystals, of course, that look like snowflakes, but making that point that everybody is different and beautiful in their own way. And, of course, teamwork. Here's Hugo and Julia making damper up at Shady Grove and cubby building. again, ethics, in this case perhaps the ethic of teamwork, but also looking after our environment. And spirituality, which of course we use in a very broad sense. We hope our children will have a range of opportunities for experiencing, exploring and expressing spirituality through all sorts of different avenues, some traditional ones like meditation, prayer and yoga perhaps, but also through the world of arts. So here's dear Lois, who did some fantastic meditation exercise and training with some of the kids. When we go to Shady Grove, we usually take a moment to have some quiet time in the chapel, which is a great opportunity to do that, as well as usually some quiet time out in the natural environment as well. But then, of course, through the arts. So here's a drama activity, and of course our Christmas tradition. This was last year's, I think, Joey's first Christmas. The kids exploring through the arts, and of course through music, and through traditions of other cultures. So here, Buddhist prayer flags, but with some Unitarian messages. And that quiet time in nature as well, up at Shady Grove. We've done some lovely pre-service bushwalks as well, which have also achieved that. We'd like to do some more of that this summer. The last one is service. And by service, we mean deeds, faith in action, not just words. And we hope that our children will grow up with boundless opportunities for the service of others and to know the sweetness and joy of service, the life secret inherent in selfless giving, sharing and serving. So here you can see some of our preschoolers learning about those in the community who serve. So we've got David as a builder there, Seth as a policeman, we've got Griffin as a fireman, I think, Hugo as a builder, Julia as a doctor, and Saskia as a fireman. That's Kate, one of our teachers, who you'll see a bit later on. Again, this was a great occasion where Jenny's developing the community garden. This opens up enormous opportunities for service and participation within community. Here the guys were cleaning up, this is the primary school group, cleaning up the sandpit, ready for the junior school group or the preschool group to come and use. And you should have seen the delight that these guys had when they finished the job and the preschoolers came out to play in it. They were really excited to see that their work had led to the joy of others. It was quite a great moment. Of course, opportunities for tree planting. And David in the kitchen at Shady Grove cooking up a storm. Tom doing the dishes. Not posed in any way at all, that photo. It's absolutely... And, yeah, up at Shady Grove, again, opportunity to learn about the environment and bush care, weeding and so on. Probably, I bet there's some weeding to do again. Jenny is there when we go up next weekend. Some bulbs, yep. And here's the kids painting the banner for the fair and doing some of the planting out the front. Take time to have a look when you go back out there on your way out to see how it's grown from this stage. Backpack for Kids was another example of something that we've done. We've collected things for backpacks for kids in crisis, filling those backpacks. So just a little bit of a snapshot of some of the things that we're doing. Of course, that makes it look like everything's wonderful. In fact, Sunday Club, we really struggle to staff and to keep those activities going. We have bursts of activity and energy, but we very much would love to expand that program. And so I'm sure Mary and myself, Kate, Yasmin, Mabel, John Baxter, others who've contributed, been out to the program, would love to chat to you about ways that you can be involved. There's all kinds of different levels, really, from greeting kids by name when they come, to doing a story, to coming out on a one-off basis to share something that you know about and are interested in, like John shared the microscopes, or perhaps taking it to another level, obtaining a police clearance and actually coming in on a regular basis as an assistant. It doesn't have to be time-consuming if you're an assistant. There's no preparation or planning. But then there's another level where you actually prepare and plan as well. Just to finish off then, ultimately, as a parent, what do I want for my children? My answer is that I want them to come to understand for themselves that they are children of the universe, no less than the trees or the stars, that they are quite literally made of stars, that they are light, as we heard in the opening words. And I'm convinced that growing up as part of a spiritual community such as this church is not the only way to learn wholeness and connectedness in childhood. But I'm equally convinced that at its best, church, by which I mean an intentional, intergenerational, small-view universalist spiritual community like ours, can be an ideal vehicle for that. A village to raise the child. Everybody has a role and responsibility in that. As a parent, let me thank you for your participation in that. And as a Sunday Club leader, let me invite you to make your role in that more intentional. by some of the ways that I've suggested. But very finally, children's development, including their religious education, is a moral and spiritual duty incumbent upon all the members of the village, and a handful of parents can't do this mighty task on their own. So as a parent, I call on you, the villagers, and in particular the elders of the village, to help me together to raise our precious children so that nurtured, emboldened, trained, and empowered by the love of this community, they may become our church's collective gift to the world, beacons of freedom, reason, and tolerance in a world yearning for these noble and transcendent qualities. May we together foster children worthy of their potential, worthy of us, their village, and worthy of their faith. Thank you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.